The Bible tells us that God became flesh and dwelt among us. But what does that mean for the Christian today? How does that affect us as believers? To answer this question and many others, join Pastor Paul and the Word Mission Church family on yet another insightful message.
Among all those who are sanctified. That is the best gift I can give you this morning. The Word of God. The Word of God. I commend you to His Word. The Word of His grace, number one, it is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. So this morning, we will dig into the Word of God. Hallelujah. Let's turn our Bibles. Thank you, Lord, to Luke chapter 1. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 36. Let's start from the let's start from 26. We'll get a clearer picture. Thank you, Lord. Oh, before I get into that, Psalm 65 verse 11 says that the Lord crowns the year with His goodness, and His path drop down fatness. So as we get into the end, the days of this year, be expectant. God is not done with you yet. No. God is not done with you yet. Whatever He has planned for your life for this year, my prayer is that you will see the fulfillment in your life. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for helping me and bringing that up to me. That was just the appetite. Get into our main lesson here. Okay, Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Now, He says that now in the sixth month, angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled and considered what manner of greeting this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid." Don't let that phrase leave you this morning. "Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb, bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." 34. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month with her who was called barren." Verse 37, keep this phrase this morning and all throughout your life. "For with God, nothing will be impossible." Let's repeat that this morning. "For with God." Oh, say it louder. "For with God, nothing will be impossible." Say it from the bottom of your heart. "For with God, nothing will be impossible." Thank you, Lord Jesus. 38, then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." Let it be according to your word. And the angel departed from her. You see, the Christmas story is the ultimate story. It's God showing us the impossible. God showing us what He can do. And if you look at how Joseph was led by God in a dream and all events that led up to this, you can see that God has not left us. He is interested in each and every one of our lives. He wants to guide us. He wants to lead us. And you have to also realize, we talked about this last week, but in Romans, I will come back to this story. In Romans chapter 8, verse 32, notice what the Bible says. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Jesus Christ was God's best giving to mankind. And he says that he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? John 3:16 talks about the fact that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will have eternal life, or the life of God. But here he says that if he did not spare his only son, God had only one son to give. And he gave his very best. But he didn't stop there. He says that with him also freely give us all things. It's a package deal. He not only gave us his son, but he wants to keep giving and giving and giving and giving and giving. That is the power of God. So when it when you have to realize how God operates. This morning, this is so important in our Christian walk for us to realize this, for us to get this. You see, all throughout, as soon as man fell and sinned against God, God started talking about Jesus in Genesis. And he said, my son is coming. My son is coming. My son is coming. My son is coming. All throughout. And when you see, get to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, Isaiah, let's go to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Thank you, Lord. He says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I like that name, Wonderful, because the birth of Jesus was wonderful. Angels announced his birth. He came in a miraculous way. Oh, his earthly ministry was wonderful. His burial and resurrection was wonderful. And now he has come to us in the person of the Holy Spirit to carry out his ministry through you and I. Everything about Jesus is wonderful. Hallelujah. But here, he says that unto us a child is born. And this is about 750 years before Jesus Christ comes on the scene. And when the angel came to Mary and I was talking about the birth of Jesus, she questioned and asked, how can this thing be? How is it possible? You know that I am a virgin. How is this possible? How can a virgin give birth? Oh, that tells us that our impossibility is, there is nothing impossible with God. If God can cause a virgin to give birth, it doesn't matter what you are faced with. When you work with God and his word and his Holy Spirit, it can be turned around. How can this thing be, seeing that I know not a man? Then verse 35 says, Luke 1:35 says, and the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. And he said, for with God nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, let it be to me according to your word. John chapter 1, verse 1, thank you, Lord. Follow me closely here. This is so important for us in our Christian walk. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And then verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God honors the human language by calling Jesus the Word. And he says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And that Word is the same Word that God kept speaking all throughout the Old Testament, including Isaiah, where we just read. But when it came time for the Word of God to be made manifest, when God had kept speaking, God had kept speaking. But when the angel came to Mary and gave that word, as soon as she said, "Let it be unto me according to your word," the word became flesh. Oh, my God and my God. You see, God's word is alive. God's word is alive. God's word is seed and it is alive. And the word became flesh. And the word became flesh. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Thank you, Lord. Hebrews chapter 4. So before you go to Hebrews, go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. 1 Peter chapter 1, 23. Thank you, Lord. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. He says, having been born again, talking about us, not of corruptible seed, incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. You and I, that's the same process that we got born again, if you are a Christian. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, what? Through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So before you became a Christian, you heard, at some way, somehow, you heard the word of God. And when you heard the word of God, the Holy Spirit was hovering over you. And when you said, "I take Jesus as my Lord," he took that word and recreated you and made you new. The creative process took place. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. Notice he says, through the word of God, which lives. The word of God lives and abides forever. He calls it incorruptible seed. And in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, thank you, Lord. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, thank you, Lord. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. He says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul, spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That is what made the difference for me when I realized that the word of God is seed. The word of God is alive. And when it is planted, and when it is received, and when it is believed, it will produce. It makes all the difference. When you realize that the word of God is alive, it is powerful. And when it is planted in the soil of our hearts, it will produce. That's how God operates. In the beginning, he spoke the word. Everything that you see here, he spoke the word. The Holy Spirit was hovering over the earth. The earth was void and was. But when he spoke the word of God, let's go there. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. Thank you, Lord. This will help somebody. Genesis 1, right from the beginning. Let's start from verse 1. The first book in the It's easy to get there. You can't miss that one. The first book in the Bible, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It was without form and void, and darkness was was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and light. The Spirit was around the time. He was all around the whole time. But he spoke and said, words, let it be to me according to your word. Create process happen. You heard the word of God. Like this week, we went out and we preached the word of God. You heard the word of God. Steve did and made a confession to Jesus Christ. Instantly born into the kingdom of God. And he said, for God, nothing will be impossible. So we get to the point where we say, Lord, let it be to me according to your word. Oh, the barren places of my life. Lord, let it be to me according to your word. The sick in my body. Oh, let it respond according to your word. I receive your healing in my body. This sadness that all of a sudden has come on me and wants to make me feel depressed, I refuse to be depressed. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Let it be to me according to your word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let it be to me according to your word. I pray that in this season, that be our heart desire. Lord, let it be to me according to your word. Glory be to the name of the Lord. You see, the thing is, the word, let me read the scripture and then we'll all see. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. Notice what he says. Thank you, Lord. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. Remember, I started with, I commend you to God and his word. Don't forget that. Oh, mama, I just get excited about it. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 says, my son or my child, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. The words that you focus on, put your eyes on, and let it go in your ears will produce in your life. So he's saying that, for instance, for this person, they need life. Need health to all their flesh. Let's take the case of, let's say, for instance, your sickness. He said, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your life. That will happen. They are what? Life. Life. To those who find them and health to all their flesh. Saying that, keep your eyes on the word of God. Go into your ears. Then the seed of God's word will produce in your life. To the Israelites, he said in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6. Thank you, Lord. Notice what he said to them. It's important for us to realize this. He says, and these words which I command you today shall be in heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. That's having the word of God with you pretty much all the time. He says, let them beware. That's what Proverbs was talking about. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Teach them to your children. Talk of them when you sit in the house. Talk of them when you walk by the way. When you lie down, when you lie down and when you rise up, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be a sign between your eyes. You write them on the doorpost of your heart and on your house and on your gates. So in the, before you sleep, you have the word of God on your mind. When you wake up, you have it on your mind. And when you walk out of your door, it's on your on the doorpost of your house. When you walk out of your house, it's on your hand. When you are talking, you and during the day, you are talking about the word of God. Oh, sooner or later, it will get into your heart. That is pretty much all the time. He's wanting them to keep those words. See, in Proverbs, he says, let them not depart from your eyes. Let it go into your ears. Surround yourself with the word of God. And sooner or later, that word that you put in your heart will overwhelm any situation that you may be faced with. Take, for instance, to go through the process, sometimes it may take a while because, for instance, when our first child was born, the doctor said we couldn't have any more children. We are talking about the birth of Jesus, so that's it's connected to it. I haven't left the place where I started. The doctor said we cannot have any more children. And I don't know about you, but for me, it doesn't fly. It doesn't work. So my wife, she did the bulk of that one of the job. She said for 6 months, she took the word of God and planted it in her heart. What God has said, because even I mean, think about it, in the Old Testament, it said, "None shall be barren among you, and none shall suffer miscarriage." And in Hebrews chapter 8, it talks about the fact that we live under a better covenant with better promises. The old under the new covenant, and he sees the new is better, and he said that to them, then we under the new covenant, we have to enjoy better. And after 6 months, he says she got to the point where the word of God overwhelmed what the doctor has said. You see, the thing is, the doctor has given you a report. It's like Mary. She said, how can a virgin person, I don't know any man. This is way out there. How can this thing be? And process of time, to the glory of God, we had more children. Condition was resolved and we had more children. Glory to God. But you see, the thing is, you have to take that word and plant it into your heart. You can't have, for instance, the doctor says you have cancer. That is what the doctor's report said. He's only reporting from a natural standpoint. What does the word of God say? The word of God says in Matthew 8:17 that he himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. The word of God says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, that he himself bore my sins on the tree when he hung on the tree, and at the same time also, by his stripes, I am healed. That is what God's word says. That is what your eyes should be focused on. There is a situation where, let's say you need a job. Well, God says he will supply your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. There's a family relationship that is gone by. Oh, God's plan is that we all live together. So you go through that process where he says, keep your eyes on the word of God. Let it go into your ears. And to do that, you're going to have to, in some cases, it takes time. To say that this is, sometimes you even have to make it a project. This is what I'm faced with. And this is what I need, the creative process that God has outlined to put into effect to change it. So notice what he said to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This is so important. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. He says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. He's trying to do the same principle. Day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in him. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Joshua has a very difficult job. He's taking over from Moses, who has all these visions and all these miracles, and God is saying that you are the next in command. You are supposed to take this people to the promised land. Naturally, he's afraid. And God is encouraging him, saying, don't be afraid. I'm going to show you how to do this. You see, there everything that you need, there's an answer in this book. I can assure you of that. So he's saying that meditate on the word of God. That means think about it day and night. Because as you keep your eyes on it and it goes into your ears, naturally that's what you will speak. And when you speak, the Holy Spirit is always available. He will those words, and the creative process will happen. The trouble is that sometimes is we focus on the negative or what the negative report is, and we take it as final. No, meditate in his word day and night, and let it get into your heart. And when it gets into your heart and comes out of your mouth, when it gets to that point, God, let it be to me according to your word. Nothing is impossible with you. This morning, no matter what you are faced with, my prayer is as you take in the word of God and keep it in your heart, in the midst of your heart, that's where it has to be, and speak it out of your mouth. May that which seems impossible in your life, which seems like it will never turn around, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, pray that God steps in and turns around in Jesus' mighty name. If you believe that, say amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus speaking said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Every word that proceeds. So he's using bread as a natural thing that we eat and comparing the word of God to it. The same way that you feed your physical body every day with meals. He's saying that for your spirit man, the real person that lives in you, you are supposed to feed it with the word of God. Feed it with the word of God. Let that word get you, and it will produce and show up in your life. The word of God is the foundation of a successful Christian life, of a successful life, of living out and fulfilling the plan of God for our lives, for us to see the hand of God in our lives. It's the foundation of a successful prayer life. Notice John chapter 15, verse 7. John chapter 15. Verse 7. Thank you, Lord. John chapter 15, verse 7. He says, if you abide in me and my words, hey, we're about to begin. Abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be. You see, to get to the second part where you ask what you desire and it will be done for you, you have to do the first part. If you abide in me, if you are a Christian, you are a branch of the vine. You abide in God, and as you fellowship with Jesus, you maintain relationship, and you abide in him. But you know, notice the part that you see, we have our responsibility. And my words abide in you. Or lives in you. The word that abides in you is the word that talks to you. And we have the responsibility to do that part. Let the words abide in you. When those words abide in you, you will know what the will of God is. You will know what his word says about. And if you don't know it, you can get into the Bible and the Holy Spirit to show you. As you study the word of God. But the thing is, he says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. Then you will pray, you will ask for you. That word has to be living in us. Living in us richly. So that no matter what comes up, we are ready to face the circumstances of life. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the... Notice what he says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. It's the same thing John was using. Dwell and abide are similar words. Dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Is it something? I mean, when it comes to prayer, some things are an emergency. You have to pray and pray quick. But not everything is an emergency. You can take God's word and plant it into your heart. And even when an emergency comes up, if the word of God is planted in you and dwelling in you, you will be ready. You will be ready to respond with his word and speak the word of God. Thank you, Lord. I'll give another example. We are talking about the birth of Jesus, so maybe other examples will be better. But I have so many I can share. But this comes to mind as well. Again, Joshua, our first son, was getting ready to be born. He had gone past his due date by 6 days. By a number of days. And they said if he gets to the sixth day, they have to induce him and force him out. And then I read the Bible and I take it as it is. Jesus wasn't, everybody, I didn't, wasn't forced into the air. He has to come normally. It's not a normal way for people to come to come into the world. He has to come as the way God designed it. You remember when we talked about a couple of weeks ago, in the beginning it was not so. That's not how God meant it in the beginning. So when they said that, it was approaching the sixth day, and I said, in 24 hours, this baby will come out normally. And for me, that settled it. And sure enough, just before that 24-hour mark, Joshua Mensahul came with his fist clenched and said, I'm here and I'm ready to take on the world to the glory of God. The word of God has to dwell in you richly. Don't wait for an emergency and then you... Where is this verse in the Bible? What does it say that? I have to find it. When an emergency comes up, you have to react. If it's not an emergency, then you can take your time. Take God the scriptures and plant it in your heart. Till what the word of God says, it supersedes whatever you are seeing in the night. How can this thing be? Mary said, the angel said, for with God nothing is impossible. He said, let it be unto me according to your word. This story tells us that what is impossible with God, what is impossible with man, is possible with God. God cares for us. God has come to be with us. He gives us the strength when man is incapable. And we know that everything will be all right when we follow his leading. We know that his power is available to us. And it's the same power that gave birth to Jesus and brought him into the world. That same power is available for us. This morning, you may be faced, with all kinds of needs. You may have a family need, you may have a financial need, situation, a work situation, some tragedy that may have happened, I can assure you that God can help you with all of those. He can help you with all of those. He's Emmanuel, God is with us. We are not destitute. It does help us turn our trust to God. And then the Christmas story also moves us to give us to give our very best to God. God gave his very best. Now we give our very best to God. God gave his son, and with him, he freely gave us all things. Now we say, Lord, I only have one life. I give it to you, and then everything else is you that to you. It teaches us that we all have something to give. Mary just had her womb. God is coming into the earth, and he needs a woman to come through. Mary said, you can have it. You are free. You are free to come into the world through me. Think about it. In this season, to an enemy, we can give forgiveness. In this season, to an opponent, we can give tolerance. In this season, to a friend, we can give our heart. In this season, to a customer, I like this, we can give service, customer service. To a child, we can give love. And a good example. And to ourselves, we can count and look at who God has made us to be and how we can walk in the fullness of all that he's provided. For us, the Christmas story means there is salvation available. There is healing available. There's God's provision available. Oh, God has provided Jesus, and with him, he will freely give us all things. Victory is now available because of what Jesus Christ has done. The same God who did the impossible in the life of Mary is the same God that can give you victory this morning. He's the same God that can give you everything that you need that pertains to life and to godliness. And I pray that we will be like these people in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Thank you, Father. We'll give our very best to God. Our lives will be yielded to God. Notice what he says about this company of people here. He says, moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we will receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministry to the saint. And not only as we had hoped, but notice this phrase, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. I'll give you a back to the story. These churches of Macedonia, there was a famine in Judea. And he's saying that they were very poor in their deep poverty. He says, in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. He says, and I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we will receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministry to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but notice, he said, they first gave themselves to the Lord. That's what needs to happen. They first give themselves to the Lord. We get to the point where we first give ourselves to the Lord. We first give our lives to the Lord. Lord, our lives are yielded to you. They first gave themselves to the Lord. We just have one life to live. Make a decision. God only had one son. And he gave him, Lord, my life is yielded to you. I give myself to you. They first gave themselves to the Lord. 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 Mary said, "Lord, you want to come to the you want to come into the world through me? My womb is yours. Lord, my life is yielded." Then all the other ones follow. There's not like anyone without something to give. There's nothing like anybody coming into the world without a gift. God has given us our time, our ability, talent. We get to that point where we say, "Lord, my life is yielded to you." To the Romans, he said, in Romans chapter 12, notice what he said to them. Romans chapter 12. The Macedonians were begging Paul to be part of what was happening in Judea, to be a part of it. But notice what he says here also. In Romans chapter 12, verse 3, he says, actually, let's start from verse 1. "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given to me, to every among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." Sometimes it's difficult, but it can be done. "But to think soberly, as God has done to everyone a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." Verse, don't let that phrase get away from you. Having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches, teaching. He who exalts, in exaltation. He who gives, liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Having then received gifts, let us use them. Think about what God has given you. Think about the gifts that he's endowed you with. Jesus Christ came and served the world. And as we do that, we begin to experience all that he has for us. He wants our lives to be totally yielded to him. And you see, also, when you start planting God's word in your heart, sometimes, like I said earlier on, the circumstances are faced with they talk to you. You see, circumstances talk to you. They have a way of speaking to you. When you go through life, this thing will never change. It's always been like that. It's always going to remain the same. It's not going to change. This thing will never change. It will never change. No, just tell you back and say, "Jesus Christ is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever." And God says, "I am the Lord and I change not." If God doesn't change and his word doesn't change, I will also stand on his word and stand my ground. One time, Jesus told Peter to get out of the boat. They were on the sea, and Jesus approached them and they were battling with a storm. Peter to step out and come out of the boat. And Jesus and Peter started walking on the water to go to Jesus. But the Bible says that as soon as he saw the wind, as soon as he saw the wind and the storm, began to sleep. Sometimes we get to a place in life when it gets difficult and we start looking at what we are faced with. It seems impossible. So long as you keep your eyes on the Word of God, so long as you keep your eyes on Jesus, you will be fine. But when you take your eyes off Jesus, His Word, and look at the storm, then it starts to overwhelm you. But when and finisher of our faith. Faith in Him is where the answer is. That is what you want to stand and keep standing. Keep standing. Ephesians 6, 13 says, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand, number one, in the evil, and have to stand, number two, with stand. They are on the same camp. Verse 14 says, stand therefore, having gathered your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Stand, stand, stand. Stand, stand, stand. Get your waist with truth, and the word of God is truth. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that this morning, may the revelation of the word of God in your life overwhelm whatever you may be faced with. And when you are tempted to doubt, and when you are tempted to give up, when failure looks like it's staring at you in the face, remember, we talked about this morning, with God, nothing is impossible. This morning, that which looks impossible in your life, I have come to assure you by the word of God, with God, nothing is impossible. Oh, if God caused a virgin to give birth, that which is in your life, that leap seems like a mountain, that seems impossible, that seems like it will never move, that seems like it will never change, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, oh, I see God turning it around. If you believe that, say aloud, amen. Amen. Say aloud, amen. Amen. Say aloud, amen. Let it be unto me according to your word. Be it unto me according to your word. Glory be to the name of the Lord. I commend you to God and to His word, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance. The word of God planted in your heart and coming out of your mouth. Think about it. When you decided to become a Christian, no devil in hell could stop it. When you heard the word of God and believed with your heart and confessed with your mouth, no devil in hell could stop that creative process. You to become born again. And if God did that, the greatest miracle that you can experience in life, how much everything else? It's easy. It's no big deal at all. Thank you, Lord Jesus. For with God, nothing will be impossible. For with God, nothing will be impossible. There is nothing that He cannot help you with. It's just you coming to Him humbly and saying, Lord, let it be to me according to your word. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Think about what you have heard this morning. It all may not dawn on you right away, but think about it. Thank you, Lord. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made. And the word became, and the word became, and the word became flesh. Which area of your life do you need the word of God to become this morning? Think about what you've heard. Think about what you heard. Proverbs 4, verse 20 and downward says, And it will be life and health to all your flesh. Thank you, Father. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. You are not destitute. You are not left as orphan. Think about all these words this morning. Think about all these words this morning. Being born again, not of incorruptible seed, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. The word of God which lives. The word of God is alive. It is planted in our hearts. And water, it will produce. Think about all that this morning. Think about it this morning. Mary had her womb. And she said, let it be according to your word. Be unto me according to your word. The churches of Macedonia first gave themselves to the Lord. Having received gifts, let us use them. Think about that this morning. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And this morning, Jesus came to bring joy to the world. To bring peace to the world. If you are watching us this morning, or if you are here this morning, or if you are listening to this after the fact, and you say, Pastor, this peace that you talk about, I don't have it. This joy that has come into the world, I don't have it. I want to meet Jesus. I want to have a relationship with him. I want him in my heart. I want him to transform my life. If you are here this morning, like that, just raise your hands and we'll pray with you. Or if you are watching online, we'll pray with you as well. Just say, Lord Jesus, you came to transform me. I believe raised from the dead. I confess you as my Lord. Come into my heart. Forgive me my sins and help me to live my life for you. I give myself to you. Thank you, I'm saved. In Jesus' name. The same way that God came into the womb of Mary. We as Christians, it's not only God with us, but God in us. He came to live in us when we became born again. This morning, thank him for the gift of salvation. That is the greatest gift of all. Lift up your voice and thank God for your salvation. Lift up your voice and thank God for your salvation. Thank God for your salvation. It is a great salvation. It cost God his son. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him that I'm saved. Thank him that you are in the kingdom of God. Thank him that you are alive. Thank him that you are born again. Yes, there are other things in life that you look to him for. He said, remember this morning, if he did not spare his own son, give him to us freely to us, how will he not in addition freely give us all things? Thank him that you are saved. You don't know what hell is like. You don't want to be in that place. He saved you from the kingdom of darkness, kingdom of light. Thank him for your salvation this morning. Thank him that you are saved. Everything else will be all right. Thank him that you are saved. Thank him that you are saved. Glory, glory. Talk to God this morning. Let your voice rise up and go all the way to the throne room of grace. Let God hear your voice this morning. Let God hear your voice this morning. Pray in the spirit if you can. Lift up your voice to the Lord. Lift up your voice to the Lord. Lift up your voice to the Lord. His presence is here this morning. His presence is here this morning. Lift up your voice to the Lord. Lift up your voice. Roll that burden over to the Lord. Roll it over to the Lord. God will take care of you. Your part is to put that word in your heart. Even when it seems that your heart may not have come yet, you may not have seen the result, keep your eyes on God. Be still and know that I am God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Sing to the Lord this morning. Let's rise to our feet and sing.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King.
Oh, glory be to the name of the Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Joy! Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just lift up your hands this morning to God, and I will pray. Thank you, Lord. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, may your sorrow be turned to May the spirit of heaviness this morning be replaced with a garment of praise.
Yes.
May the joy of this season be yours and forever. In the mighty name of Jesus. And I pray, may the remaining days of this year, may God give you a testimony. May you receive a gift from God, listen to his son. As you yield your life to God in the mighty name of Jesus, in total surrender and obedience, may you experience his very best in every area of your life. I rebuke sickness this morning. Get God's people in the mighty name of Jesus. I rebuke depression this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. Get rid of that garment of heaviness and receive the garment of praise right now in Jesus' mighty name. May God crown your year with his goodness. May you taste and see that the Lord is good. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. We thank you so much for Jesus. We are grateful to you, O God, for sending him, that we might come into the family of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. May God bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine on you. May you is peace and shalom. Nothing missing and nothing broken in your life. You are blessed and you cannot be cared. You are blessed and you are a blessing. May your light shine others this week in Jesus' mighty name. Everyone said amen.
Amen.
Say aloud amen.
Amen.
Say aloud amen.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Word Mission Church International. If you're in the Colorado Springs area, we invite you to join us this morning at 10 a.m. Word Mission Church International is located off of Edison Avenue at 5050 Edison Avenue, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80915. For more messages like this, be sure to visit our website at www.wordmissionchurchinternational.org. If you are in need of a Bible, stop by our church at 5050 Edison Avenue, Colorado Springs, on Saturday at 6 p.m. or Sunday at 10 a.m., and we'll be glad to bless you with a new Bible. If this message was a blessing and the Lord leads you to partner with us in spreading God's Word, simply text the word GIVE to 719-215-8338. For a tax-deductible gift to the ministry, give to 719-215-8338. Remember to visit the website, www.wordmissionchurchinternational.org. Also, let us know how this message was a blessing and how we can help further. Stay blessed. Word Mission Church International. Bible-rich sermons, authentic fellowship.